Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you another message from the Lighthouse. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we are streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You may have tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Or tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. Others of you are listening by the way of Sermon Cloud. And one of the ways to get to Sermon Cloud is through my website, which is pastorkenharger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse, scroll down until you see Sermon Cloud, click on that, and it takes you to my storage place where I have about 30, 35 messages waiting to be listened to. So another way to tune me in is through the web page that I do, or the Facebook page that I do as a public figure. I do a devotion each day, and on Saturday's devotion, I put a link to the same storage place. Okay, whatever way you joined us, I'm just glad to have you be with us this morning, and trusting that God's going to give me enough voice to finish the message this morning. I've had a little bit of that virus that's going around, knocked me down for about 3 days. And I'm finally getting a little bit of it back, but still got a sore throat and still cough a lot. And I'm hoping I can make it through the broadcast without having one of those coughing spells, okay? I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse. It's a little cooler. It's a Thursday morning I'm putting the CD together because it's been such a busy week and not feeling good, not being able to talk for very long. And so I thought I'd better wait a little later in the week to be able to do the service. Yesterday, some fellas came and helped me, along with my grandson, and we got all the docks out, and everything's all put away for the winter, and that makes it a good feeling to be able to have that all done. I wasn't the last one. There's still a few docks scattered around the lake, but not very many, and I'm just glad to have mine all in, and I appreciate the help so much. Well, as I share the message, we're going to continue on our study of the book of James. We're in chapter 4, or lesson 4. And today we realize that we're going to have a message that's going to speak to our hearts on the idea of the tongue. You're going to be tired of hearing me talk about the tongue before I get done. And it's been a busy week, but well received on my Facebook. And so I'm looking forward to sharing this message with you. I not only have you tuned me in, but I need to share with you that I have some sponsors I need to say thank you to. For first, I would say a thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting the music for this broadcast. I'm taking over the rest of the songs, the rest of the messages for the rest of the year, and she'll get the songs picked out for those. And I really appreciate K.N. Kingsinger doing that for me. A big thank you to Maria Vard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, from Dayton, Tennessee, now living here for a few weeks in Michigan because of some family concern. And so thank you to Marie. Thank you to Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville. Gay and her husband supported me long before he passed away, and I appreciate their support so much. Her support continued to come. Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area have been good supporters, and I appreciate them so much so we can take care of the broadcast. Always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church because that's where I pastored for 50 years, and I've been retired 10, so I've been attending there for 60 years. I think I'm one of the oldest members there right now. But anyway, for the Shiloh Church, Saturday evening begins at 6:30, Sunday morning begins at 9 o'clock, and then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, we're one church with two campuses. In our Greenville campus is the old Lutheran church located on M91 north of town, up there by McDonald's, and we have a Sunday morning service there at 11 o'clock. Well, that takes care of the chores I need to do. Now I need to get started with our message for this morning. And, you know, one of the things that is important to think about when we're thinking about the tongue is to make sure we're pleasing to God, you know. That's one of the main things. Are we talking language and doing things with that tongue of ours that is pleasing to God? And that's important to be a part of our life. So We're going to listen to a song that that's what the song is sharing with us, the idea of being pleasing to God and letting God have his will and his way in our life and the things that we're talking about and saying that it'll be a blessing to him. So let's listen in, and I'll be right back, and we'll share our time together. This is all I really want to do, is Lord, be pleasing to you. What a blessing thought that is. We need to get a hold of that for our own individual lives, especially as we talk about the tongue this morning. I think before the message gets over, I'll probably say this again. You feel like you want to spit that tongue out of your mouth because of the dangers that it has and the power it has. And I realize that some people have a little better job of controlling the tongue or taming the tongue, the words we'll be using this morning, than other people. And some people don't really care. They say, you get what you see. That's what it is. And I guess I'll have to handle that too as well, because we can't control another person's tongue. They can only control it themselves. But I would like to pray for the listening audience for just a few moments. Father, we come to you. Once again, I want to remember the listening audience. I don't know what their week has been like this week, Father, but you do. And so I just pray for each one that's tuned us in this morning, regardless of the station they tuned us in by, that you would be pleased to bless them in a very special way. We just love sharing this message. And even though this is a little more difficult message to share, Father, it is so needed in our days and age when there's so many things being said that hurts other people and unkind words and so on. But Father, for the listening audience, those that's gone through through a very tough week. I pray that you would give a comfort and encouragement to them. Those that may have lost a loved one, we just pray that you would comfort them in a very special way. Those that's going through some family situations, some decisions they need to make, Father, would you give them some wisdom to know what kind of a decision they should make for whatever the circumstance is that is confronting them at this time this morning? I pray for others that's going through physical difficulty, for others, Father, that's going through some spiritual lows in their life, that you might just minister to each one according to your will. And Father, I pray you'd talk to all of us this morning about our tongue. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, today we'll come up with those two words, controlling the tongue and taming the tongue. Causing us to realize that sometimes that tongue can get us into a lot of trouble, which we'll see in just a few moments. In James chapter 3 is where we pick it up, verses 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, not many of you should become a teacher. You know that we who are teachers will be judged more severely. All of us make a lot of mistakes and someone doesn't make any mistakes when he speaks, he would be perfect. He would be able to control his tongue. He would be able to control everything he does. He's saying, you know, when you can control the tongue, you can control all the rest of your life. That little member in your body and my body, that thing we call the tongue, it can get awful, awful out of control. It can get awful wild and say things that it should never say. But we're going to be introduced to that thought this morning as we think about it. But first, he's coming to the idea of thinking about a public speaker. He said, you know, a public speaker, if he would have as a goal, and I can tell you that this is true, to be able to control what he says as he speaks. But he says all speakers will make mistakes as he or she speaks and will say something that we didn't want to say or something that just came out the wrong way or whatever else it is or something that didn't come out. I find that even more so on the radio when I don't say something. You know, you don't want downtime on the radio. So you just try to remind yourself to do the very best that you can possibly do. But he said, you will make some mistakes as a public speaker. But he wants to use that as an illustration to get us into the idea of thinking that nobody can totally control their tongue. And I remember one day doing a funeral service for a lady that was a mother of many children. And some days after the funeral, I met a lady in a public business place, and she said to me, Pastor, I got to ask you a question. What did you mean in the message that you shared for this lady? What did you mean when you said she had her hell on earth? And I said, man, I don't use that kind of approach, that kind of language. So I said, I can't believe I did. I heard you. She said, you said she had her hell on earth. And I said, well, I don't know, but I said, I'll go back and look at my message and see what I can find, because that's not who I am. That's not the way that I would share things. So I went back and went through that message line by line, the outline that I had. And all of a sudden, I came a part of the verse that said, part of the message that said, she was blessed with good health on planet Earth. And so I went back and said to you, know, I don't know what all you heard. I know this is what I was saying. I was blessed because she had so many children to think that she hardly ever had been in a hospital until the later part of her life. And so I said, she's been blessed with good health on the earth. And well, that seemed to satisfy her. I don't know if that's for sure what I said or not. But, you know, we should understand that a public speaker is going to make some mistakes as he or she speaks, and he's telling us that's because nobody can perfectly control the tongue. On the other hand, I also remember a time doing a funeral, and at the closing of the funeral service at the cemetery, I said, will you recite with me the Lord's Prayer? That's the way I said it. Will you recite with me the Lord's Prayer? And after the service, there was a much older person than myself came to me, and he said, Pastor, I need to share this with you, because he said, you know, we do not recite the Lord's Prayer. We pray the Lord's Prayer. And that was good. I'm glad he did that, see, because that was corrective. And I got to tell you, that was many, many years ago. I would say probably 40, 50 years ago. And any time, rather at church or any time with a family that I'm meeting with, that the mom, the person is dying and the rest of the children are gathered around the bed and we're having prayer, then I said, when we get done, excuse me, we will pray the Lord's Prayer. When I do that at a funeral service, in the cemetery or whatever, I say, we will pray the Lord's Prayer. You see, the tongue cannot be totally in control, controlled, and we need to know that. That's the first thing, and that's why that's a taming process. And I kind of like that, because of the idea that I like that word taming, because we know that we can work at it, and it's still going to get out of control once in a while. I wanted to think about this. Be careful with your words. Once they have been said, they can only be forgiven, not forgotten. Another way to say that, once they have been said, they can never be unsaid. And you know, one of the things that we do sometimes is we say things, and especially when we're a little bit frustrated, we say things that we maybe would not say at another time. The power of words. I might mention that many times. The power of words. Words have a tremendous power. And we need to know that that's something that is very hard for us to control, because it says things, a tongue does things and says things. And there's some reasons for that. So let's continue on in the book of James and see what he has to say. He says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want him by the means of a small bit in his mouth. So we can control this, we can control the horse by a bit in his mouth. I don't think that's a very pleasant thing for the horse, and so that's why it kind of works for him. When he feels a little pull on this side, he's going to go on that side to kind of release that a little way. The same thing he says about a small rudder can make a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. He said that ship, and I had a picture of a big ship that had a thing on it that I had the idea of the rudder. The rudder is small, very small, in comparison to the entire huge ship. And he's reminding us that's the way it is, and that's the things that happen. Excuse me just a minute. But he says at the same time, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing, but it makes grand speeches. It can say things that can cause a whole lot of trouble. He says a tiny spark, just in the campground somewhere, can bring about a tremendous forest fire. And he said, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corruption. It corrupts your entire body. It can say, it can set your whole life on fire, for it's set on the fire by hell itself. He's reminding us of that difficulty that there is. I just got to take a downtime for just a moment. Okay, I'm right back. I didn't want to have the mic turned up when I had to cough and it was coming. I believe those are very vivid pictures to illustrate what he wants to get us to understand about the tongue. They say the bit and bridle and all that weighs about 5 pounds. But in the horse's mouth, it can control a horse that weighs 1,500 pounds. That small piece of wood can drive that huge ship, steer that huge ship, even though there's wind, and it can make it go where it needs to do. Then you see the tongue is a lot like the spark that causes a forest fire. It makes those grand speeches, and that it can cause your whole life to be on fire. The tongue has power to destroy. The average weight of the human tongue, they say, is less than 3 ounces. But what damage and destruction it can do. That little tongue can set the whole life, set your whole life on fire. What you say about what you say about yourself, or what you say about something else, or someone else said about you, I believe God is warning us that that tongue can be set on fire from hell itself, he says. I think he's maybe reminding us that that idea of the tongue saying things that's not true, saying things that's not helpful, saying things that's destructive. He said that really came from Satan himself, and we need to be aware of that. Remember, God told Adam and Eve after he created them, you can eat of any of these trees, but of that tree there, you don't eat. Well, along comes Satan in the form of a serpent, and he says, you will not die. God knows that if you eat that fruit with the tree, you will learn about good and evil. Then you'll be like God. That's in Genesis 3. And you know what? Satan used that tongue to discourage Eve, and as a result, great destruction of sin coming into the world. And it changed everything about the human race. Satan's mouth was doing works of evil, bringing about works of evil. And when we share words that lead to destruction of our life or to other people's life, he said it's just like a huge forest fire. It's going to cause lives to be ruined and destroyed. And we've seen a lot of that. I like that illustration the best because we've seen a lot of forest fires, especially out in California and those places like that where it gets dry and then they have so many wooded areas. And man, home after home and lives have been destroyed and firefighters have spent thousands of hours. And sometimes that's exactly what it was started by, just maybe a little bit of a spark in a bonfire or a little bit of spark in a campfire. Or maybe a lightning strike or something causes that huge fire, burns thousands of acres. And we realize he's saying, the tongue is like that. You're about ready to want to spit it out, aren't you? The tongue is like that. It can cause so much destruction. I believe with all of my heart that the Bible is the Word of God. But also I believe that James is the half-brother of Jesus. And I wonder sometimes, as not only along with the Holy Spirit leading James, I wonder sometimes if might have thought about some of the things that Jesus taught, because I'm sure he heard Jesus teach. And there's a strong correlation between the teachings of the book of James and the Sermon on the Mount of the Lord Jesus about the Beatitudes and those kinds of things. One day Jesus said something about causing some difficulty, and he's saying, you know, he's talking about the Pharisees, and he said, you know, it's not what comes out of the, what goes into the mouth that causes them trouble. It's what comes out of their mouth, the untruths and the way they speak and so on. And Peter came to Jesus afterwards, and he said, Jesus, that offended them when you said that. That offended the Pharisees. Because, you know, they were making sure you wash your hands just so and all those kinds of things. And so Peter said, Jesus, would you explain this parable to us? And then he said, are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes into the sewer? Well, what comes out of the mouth, it proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles a person, what comes out of the mouth, not how he eats his food. For out of the heart, he says, and the mouth's going to speak what's in the heart. Out of the heart, he says, comes evil intentions. Out of the heart comes murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, slander. These are what defile a person, not what he eats with unwashed hands. That doesn't defile him. That's just a religious thing that they're doing. He's saying, you know what? We really got to make sure the heart is right. And that's exactly what God wanted to get across to the disciples and to us as well, is that heart is wicked. And then that tongue takes what's in that heart and it says those wicked things and causes many times all kinds of difficulty. I love the way it is described by James, that the tongue needs to be tamed. He said people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Every type of species of animal have been tamed But he's saying no one can tame the human tongue. I got to cough again. I'm sorry about that, folks, but I wanted to do this radio broadcast, and so if you'll just bear with me this time, I'm hoping by next week I'll sure be a whole lot better. You know what? One of my favorite animals, when we see Flipper, years ago, Flipper, the dwarf, dolphin. Flipper, he was just a lot of fun to watch that program. And probably you've had some dog or cat or other type of animal that you have kind of tamed a little bit, and you're just so proud of that. And that was something very special to you. But now what he's reminding us, no one can tame the tongue. The first step to deal with the problem is to acknowledge there's a problem. To admit that's true. No one can control the tongue. The tongue gets out of control. And all of that comes because it's sharing what's in the heart. Then Jesus reminds us what comes out of the heart, those evil intentions and all those kinds of things, he says those are untamable. You cannot do that by yourself. What is needed is a heart change. We need to have a change in our heart. And so God would remind us, I love this, change my heart, O God. That's what David prayed after he sinned so desperately. Create in me a right, steadfast spirit within my heart. God, I need a change in my heart to bring about the results that I know is necessary to be brought about in my individual life. That's what he's telling us. The next word picture after that is people can tame all kinds of animals and the fish, but nobody can tame the tongue. He says this, it's poison. It's poison. Not only is it uncontrollable, not only is it untamable, it is poison. James 3:8 is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. It's just not poison that make you sick. It's a poison that can destroy other people. And we need to get a hold of that for our own individual lives. And this word poison is an interesting word. It describes the venom from a snake that a snake produces, like a rattlesnake or a scorpion. But it also speaks of rust. Rust can cause a lot of difficulty. Just think, have you been around somebody in your lifetime that's had a foul tongue? And after you're around them a little bit, it's amazing how that stuff seems to seep into your head and to your heart and on your tongue. All of a sudden, you're saying corrupt things. They've proven this to be true, folks. They take an old rusty bolt and they screw a brand new nut on top of that old rusty bolt. And in time, that old rusty bolt will contaminate that new nut that was just put on there, even though it had no rust on it whatsoever. But because it's around that old rusty bolt, all of a sudden, in time, they look exactly the same. And sometimes that's what happens when we're around people that have a kind of a corrupt tongue or a foul mouth of some of those kinds of things. I remember one time when we was traveling in the times of CBs, and you know, every now and then there would be a truck driver or maybe just another person, but they would have a foul tongue, and they'd be saying things on the CB that they shouldn't be saying. And I remember one time when we was traveling with the kids, they said some swear words on the CB, and somebody else came on real quick, and they said, hey, buddy, I hope you don't eat out of that foul mouth you got. It must make your food taste terrible to speak that kind of a way. Well, I don't know if those two guys ever met or not. Probably they'd be angry at one another. But, you know, about this time in the study, we're saying, you know, I want to spit that tongue out. James 3, 9, 10 says, sometimes it praises our Lord, our Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God himself. Praises God and curses people. That's poison, he says. So blessing and cursing come from that pouring out of that mouth. And that's why it's so poisonous. That's why it's so difficult. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. The tongue is used to be a, both a blessing and a cursing. You see, that's exactly what he's wanting us to understand, that as a Christian, that's why it needs taming. That's why it needs controlling. That's why we need to realize we can speak poison with that tongue. And we need to realize that it can curse God, it can curse man and bless God, or it can curse God and bless man. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. This isn't the way it should be done. I love the way Apostle Paul shared it in Ephesians 4:29. Don't say anything that would hurt another person. Instead, speak only what is good so that you can help them. Whoever is in need. That way, when you say what you say will help those who hear you. But now we have been made aware to control the tongue is going to be a lifelong process. I need to say that again. To control the tongue is going to be a lifelong process. And you know something, folks? I believe we're going to need God's help to do it. You can't do it on your own. I think we need to realize that's the way it is. I came across this epitaph in my studies. It was on a tomb. It says, beneath the stone, a lump of clay lies. Abigail Young, who on her 24th day of May, as she passed away, she began to hold her tongue. Finally, at death, the tongue has been silenced. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind. But you destroy yourself when you are cruel. And sometimes that cruelty comes out in the tongue. And we need to realize that's not beneficial, not for the hearers, and it's not beneficial for those that are listening. So let's listen to what the song that just was described a moment ago. Change my heart, O God. Because my heart is so desperately wicked and doing the things that it causes my tongue to say stuff that I don't really want to say. So I need a change in heart. I need you, God, to get in there and do something within my heart to make it to be a better place instead of a bitter place. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh. You are the power.
And you know, folks, to be like God with the use of our tongue, it'll take a change of heart. It will. It'll take a change of heart for each one of us to come to that point of wanting to please Him with our language, wanting to please Him by the things we say or the things we don't say. In other words, it's the idea that we need to realize that this is something that can cause a lot of difficulty. The old saying was, open mouth, insert foot. You ever hear that saying? Once there was a phrase that said that to stick one's foot in one's mouth was common. It meant that sometimes someone had said something that was inappropriate and probably was very embarrassing. Open mouth, insert foot. A lady was asking the man working in the grocery department in one of the supermarkets in the grocery department about if she could buy a half a head of lettuce. He looked at her and she like she was crazy. Half a head of lettuce can you buy? He said to her. He said, a half a head, God grows them in whole heads. Now, that's how we sell them, in whole heads. But she was so insistent, so he went back and he asked the manager. When he got to where the manager was, he said, you won't believe this is what's happening. Back in the produce department, there's this crazy old battle axe who wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. And the manager's face turned as red as a beet, and he pointed to the lady who had apparently followed him and was standing right behind him. And without missing a beat, the produce man said, and this nice lady wants to buy the other head. Is that okay? Other half of the head. Is that okay? You know what, folks? Sometimes open mouth, insert foot. That's the way it goes. And we say things that we don't really want to say, and we say them in a way we shouldn't say them, and we say them in a hurtful way. And James continues on with the blessing and cursing coming from the same tongue. Two great images driving home the truth that is not right for brothers and sisters. Does a spring water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Can a pump produce both fresh water and bitter water? Can that come out of one well? Can that come out of one spring? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or does a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Man, there's a lot in that that he's just sharing. Listen, he said there's things that's the way it should be. It's the way we should be. We shouldn't be taking that tongue of ours and blessing God and cursing man, or cursing man and cursing God and blessing man. He said, you shouldn't do that. Tongue shouldn't be that. That's not right, brothers and sisters. And then it gives us these illustrations. You pump the pump. When I go to the cabin, I got a pitcher pump. And you know, when people come up there, they like pumping the old pitcher pump. Now, I don't want it for every day, every day of my life, the rest of my life. But I got to tell you, every now and then, I like to pump that pump. And I got a tin cup there with a long handle. And I have a cup of cold water that I pump myself. And I got to tell you, that tastes pretty good to me. But can that pump pump spring water, good to drink, at the same time pump bitter water that I wouldn't want to drink? It can't do it. It can't do it. Can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? And you have to say no. And you know what? If you find a salty spring, can it cause fresh water to come? It won't do it, he's saying. That's reminding us that this tongue needs taming and it needs controlling. And it's too full of poison, and it takes somebody to give some direction to it. The two images, these images rather, are really saying the same essential message that we can only produce one type of word from our lives. Jesus says a spring will produce one kind, just as a spring will produce one kind of water, or a tree one kind of fruit. So the tongue should only produce one kind of effect. And he's trying to get us to see that that tongue every now and then can do something that's really destructive and hurt somebody. But at the same time, if you work with it and yet God help you with it and God change your heart, he's saying that tongue can become a tremendous impact on the lives of those that we share with. These images are reminding us it's only able to impact in one way. I want to share some thoughts from Solomon. He was one of the wisest men that ever lived next to Jesus. Listen to this from Proverbs. This is Proverbs 13:3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. You know why he's giving us another word? Guard your lips. Don't just say everything that comes to your head. I've met people, and so have you. They just keep talking until something else comes to their head. And sometimes it's not very good. He said, guard your lips, because it's going to help you as a person. If you speak harshly, those kind of rashly, those kinds of things, he said, it's going to bring you to ruin. Listen to this one from Proverbs 12:18. The words of the restless pierce like swords. Ouch, that would hurt. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. That would feel good. Tongue of the wise. You can say stuff that cuts people deeply. But he's saying, you know what? You can say stuff that can help people. The tongue has the power of life and death. To those who love to talk, will have to eat their own words. And sometimes we've had to eat our own words, haven't we? That's Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life, and the tongue has the power of death. And we need to realize that's the way it is. When I was growing up, I'm sure some of you that's my age, and some of you even maybe younger than that, we would always hear this saying that was going around, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Is that true? That's a big lie right from the pit of hell itself, I believe. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names or words will never hurt me. Words can hurt, and it does hurt. And I've been hurt in my life growing up as a kid from words that were said, such as you'll never amount to anything, you're stupid, that kind of stuff. That hurts. But you know what? Words can heal. And I remember when I learned the fact that Jesus cares for me, that Jesus wants me to grow, that Jesus wants me to speak things that's going to be beneficial to people. And when I think of how the words hurt, it helps you to realize you need to be saying some things that can help people and not just hurt their lives. You know, one of the things that I like about the Bible is the idea of things that we can pick up as we just look at it, as we take and pause a moment and reflect upon things. I'd like to reflect upon something that's way back in the book of Genesis, when Satan had told a lie to Adam and Eve. But it tells us about God when he began to create this world. It says God spoke. God spoke. He said some words. He spoke the words. He spoke. And the heavens and earth into existence out of nothing. God spoke. Listen to what it says now, and I'll just give you some of these because I really love them. He says, God created heaven and the earth was out form and void, and darkness upon all the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, it was good, and God divided light into night and day. God spoke the word, let there be light. God speaking words that's going to bring benefit and blessing. And God said, let there be an firmament in the midst of the waters, and it divided the waters from the word. And God made the firmament and divided the waters, and they were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament. And so God called it heaven, and he now called it earth. And God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. He spoke, and dry land appeared, is what he's saying. Then there was all the seas and so on, and God said, let the seas bring forth the good all the fishes and all those kinds of things that will have all these different kinds of things in the sea. And God saw that it was good. He spoke, and it was good. He spoke, and it was good. And he wants us to know that's the way it's supposed to be. And God said, let there be light in the firmament, and the heavens divided the day from the night, and then there'll be signs for the seasons and days and for years, and then there'll be light in the firmament, and the heavens give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made these two great lights, the moon and the sun, and God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. And God said, let there be waters come forth. And God saw the earth, and he said, it's good. It's good. When God spoke, he spoke things that were good. I'm thinking what he's trying to teach us is, remember, when Satan spoke, he spoke those things which were a lie. And when God spoke, he spoke those things that brought about good results. The heavens and the earth was created, and all the animals and all the things that we have been a part of in our world today. Dear people, the way God speaks is the way he wants us to speak. He wants us to respond the way he responds. And he wants it to be something that is beneficial and it's going to help build somebody up. So let's wrap this up about the tongue, because to be very honest, this is a very difficult message, because every one of us get kind of laxy-daisy sometimes, you know. Get kind of laxy-daisy to the point that all of a sudden we're saying things we know we shouldn't be saying. And then, you know, if you and your wife or you and somebody else gets in an argument, all of a sudden you're saying things you shouldn't be saying. This lesson from the book of James is through this message this morning is reminding us the tongue needs to be controlled, because it gets out of control. It needs some brakes on it. So sad when we think of all the destruction the tongue can cause. It's just like a wildfire. It can set other people's lives on fire, and it can set your life on fire. Controlling the tongue. The tongue needs to be controlled. The first trait of the human tongue is that it is condemning. The second trait of the human tongue is it needs to be controlled, like a bit in the horse's mouth, or the little rudder on the ship, or how a spark can cause such a great forest fire. The third trait of the human tongue is that it is corrupting. It's like poison. It's like rust. And the fourth trait of that human tongue is that it is compromising. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. The book of James is about faith and works, and that they need to work together. So the way I'd like to kind of close our time together, our thinking together this morning, is the realization that God is saying, you know what? You cannot control your tongue alone. You cannot tame your tongue alone. Your tongue is going to shoot out poison. Your tongue's going to cause fire. It's going to cause difficulty. But what he's saying to us, I believe, because of the whole theme of the book of James, is that faith and works can help to do that. It may not be able to totally tame it, to totally constantly control it, but we can sure do better than we normally do if we make it a matter of a faith and works thing. Make it a part that there's some things that God can do to help us, and then there's some other things that we need to do to help ourselves. It is not just dependent upon God to bring it about, to change, by creating in us a new heart. It's for us to let that new heart go to work, to think differently than we normally think, and not just respond the way that we've always responded. I've known men and women in my lifetime that swear that don't even know they swear. They just have been so used to doing it, it becomes a habit. It becomes a part of their life. And God is saying, now your part is to put the brakes on, to think about what you've just said and to think about how it can do. Faith and works working together. How can I learn to control my tongue? We must first of all take responsibility for your words. You probably know the pain of regretting words that you have spoken at some time or another, words of pride or words of dishonesty or evil or gossip or anger, and the scripture warns against that. Listen to what he says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto its hearers. You know what he's saying to us? Let no. That's saying, put the brakes on. Sure, that stuff's going to pop in your head. You could say that kind of stuff. But is that going to build them up or is that going to tear them down? That's what he's asking us this morning. He's asking us to make a decision about the fact that the things I say every day, does it tear people down or does it build people up? We must remember the tongue cannot be tamed. My favorite thought for this is something that I learned when I was in the youth meetings at the first church that I attended. Listen to this, folks. This has been my prayer ever since. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me do that again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God can help you to do it. That's Psalms 19:14, and God wants to help you to do that. He wants to produce in your life what that can produce in your life because he knows it's going to be a benefit to you. God bless you. Don't spit your tongue out. Just work with God and let God work with you in getting that tongue to be what it should be and saying the things it should say and responding the way it should respond. God bless each one of you and thank you for letting me share with you. Bye-bye. I'm sorry something happened to that song. It started and then all of a sudden it just quit. So I guess I won't be able to play that. I haven't had that problem for a while, but that song just didn't want to continue on. So let me just say a couple more things and have a prayer with us and close our time together and ask the Lord to minister to us in a special way. And that song, I think, was... I was really hoping it would be, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing the Lord's praises and to sing his blessing and the things that he has done for each one of us, which is such a special way to do. But as we think about the tongue, just to wrap it up a little bit, and this may be just a little shorter message, but, you know, to think about the tongue and to realize that God wants it to be a thing that we can use for his benefit. And it can be some things that can be said that can be beneficial and helpful to people. But you have to stop and think about it. By the way, there's one thing that I didn't mention, and I like the idea of it, is that the tongue is inside of a picket fence. Do you ever think about that? Your teeth are like a picket fence. And that tongue is behind that picket fence. To kind of keep them bad words from coming out. Or maybe what we could really do is take that tongue and then picket fence and open and bite the tongue just a little bit when it's about to say something that it shouldn't say. We need to think about that and think about what God can do for us and how we can help ourselves and how that blessing. I believe God's given us everything that we need to help that tongue to be tamed to some degree. And to be in control most of the time. I'm not saying that once in a while won't get out of control. And once in a time would it be wild and say things it shouldn't say. But I just want to pray for us. And that's what I'll do. And we'll close the service with this prayer. And I'm sorry that song didn't work. Go, Father, as we come to you. You have spoken so many beautiful things. That is uplifting to us. You have reminded us in your word over and over again when you spoke things of promise. Promise that we can unload upon you all of our care because you care for us. Promises that you've given to each one of us. And at the same time, Father, we realize that it's so easy for us to take our tongue and let it do whatever it wants to do. Would this message, Father, help us to see we need to work with you to bring about some type of control upon our tongue. I'll be careful to thank you and praise you for that, and thank you for this message. In Jesus' name, Amen, and God bless you.